Here's a startling fact. If you were born in 1900, you had a 50-50 chance of dying before your fifth birthday. Your mother might not survive childbirth. Your family likely lived on less than a dollar a day. You'd never learn to read, never see a doctor, and if you were female, you'd have no legal rights whatsoever. Fast forward to today, and every single one of these horrors has been dramatically reversed. Yet, ask anyone on the street, and they'll tell you the world is falling apart. This gap between reality and perception forms one of the most fascinating puzzles of our time. Why, in the midst of humanity's greatest triumph, do we remain convinced we're heading toward catastrophe? In 1968, biologist Paul Ehrlich's bestseller predicted mass starvation within a decade. With global population doubling to 5 billion in 35 years, he declared hundreds of millions would starve in the 1970s. While Ehrlich wrote his apocalyptic predictions, Iowa agronomist Norman Borlaug worked quietly in Mexican wheat fields. Since 1944, he'd developed revolutionary dwarf wheat varieties that focused energy on grain rather than tall stalks. Combined with modern irrigation and fertilizers, these plants increased Mexico's wheat harvest sixfold, transforming the country from food importer to exporter. When famine threatened India and Pakistan in 1963, Borlaug brought his miracle seeds. Despite war between the countries, yields jumped 70% the first year, and both nations soon became self-sufficient. This green revolution spread throughout Asia, raising average daily caloric intake worldwide from 2,200 in 1961 to over 2,800 today. Chronic malnourishment dropped from half the world's population in 1947 to just 13% by 2015, 109 million fewer hungry people despite 1.9 billion more inhabitants. Malthus's prediction failed completely. As people grew wealthier, they chose fewer children. American fertility rates dropped from 7 children per woman in 1800 to 1.9 in 2012. Today's greatest nutritional threat isn't scarcity, but excess. Obesity has become more common than hunger. Throughout history, contaminated water was humanity's silent killer. Medieval cities became cesspools. 1900 New York's horses alone produced 2.5 million pounds of manure daily. Stockholm's pristine waterfront grew so clogged with filth that ships couldn't navigate. The breakthrough came in 1854 when physician John Snow traced a London cholera outbreak to a single contaminated pump. Yet change required the Great Stink of 1858, when the Thames became so foul, Parliament suspended sessions to finally prompt modern sewerage. When American cities implemented water filtration and chlorination, clean water alone drove 43% of total mortality reduction, with even higher percentages for children. Between 1980 and 2015, access to improved water sources jumped from 52% to 91%, 2.6 billion people gaining access. Global diarrhea deaths fell from 1.5 million in 1990 to 622,000 in 2012. Water access particularly benefits women and children, who collectively spend 40 billion hours yearly fetching water in Africa alone. For most of history, life was brutally short. Hunter-gatherers lived 20 to 30 years. Ancient Greece and Rome, 18 to 25 years. Before 1800, no country exceeded 40 years of life expectancy. Medical treatment often worsened outcomes. Physicians practiced bloodletting using 30 million leeches in France alone in 1846. In early 19th century Sweden, 30 to 40% of children died before age 5. Then something extraordinary happened. Humanity's mortality reduction occurred in just the last four of roughly 8,000 generations. Global life expectancy rose from 31 years in 1900 to 71 today. During the 20th century, the average person approached death by only 7 months for every year they aged. Edward Jenner's vaccination, Ignaz Semmelweis's handwashing discovery, reducing maternal deaths by 90%, and Alexander Fleming's penicillin transformed medicine. Vaccination campaigns against tuberculosis, diphtheria, measles, and polio followed. Smallpox was eradicated in 1980. Polio cases reduced by 99% since 1988. Between 1950-2011, life expectancy rose from 42 to 70 years in Asia, 50 to 74 in Latin America, and 37 to 57 in Africa, despite HIV/AIDS. Poverty was humanity's default state until wealth creation began. Pre-18th century Europeans owned almost nothing. Estate inventories listed a few old clothes, a stool, a table, a bench, the planks of a bed, sacks filled with straw. In the early 19th century, 40 to 50% of people in the US, Britain, and France lived in extreme poverty. The Industrial Revolution transformed everything. Between 1820 to 1850, workers' real earnings nearly doubled. By 1900, extreme poverty in England had fallen by three quarters. Since 1820, per capita GDP in the Western world has increased more than 15-fold. China's economic miracle began in the early 1980s, when special economic zones were exempted from command economy rules. Extreme poverty plummeted from nearly 90% in 1981 to just 10% today. India followed after 1991 reforms, with average incomes growing 7.5% annually. Even the Dalits, India's untouchables, benefited as competitive businesses found discrimination costly. Since 1981, extreme poverty fell globally from 54% to just 12% by 2015. Sub-Saharan Africa has grown around 5% annually since 2000, with extreme poverty dropping from 57% to 35% since 1990. For the first time in history, extreme poverty is no longer the norm. Despite alarming headlines, the dramatic reduction in violence may be the most important development in human history. Our cultural heritage reveals how commonplace brutality once was. Grimm's folktales featured murder and abuse, Punch and Judy shows portrayed domestic violence as comedy, and nursery rhymes contain 11 times more violence than pre-9 p.m. television. The average violent death rate in non-state societies was 524 per 100,000 annually, nearly nine times the 20th century rate of 60 per 100,000, including all wars and genocides. European homicide rates dropped from 30 to 40 per 100,000 in the 13th to 15th centuries to around 1 today. The Enlightenment reframed war from honorable necessity to something avoidable, while commerce made peaceful trade more profitable than conquest. Great powers, once at war 75 to 100% of the time, haven't fought each other since the Korean War. Interstate wars killed 86,000 on average in the 1950s versus 3,000 today. While terrorism has increased fivefold since 2000, it remains statistically insignificant. Economic interdependence has created a liberal peace where democracies resolve disputes diplomatically. Humanity is winning. We've doubled lifespans, escaped extreme poverty, virtually eliminated famines, dramatically reduced violence, and extended freedom to billions. Children who labored now attend school. Women who couldn't vote now lead nations. Technologies that seemed like magic now rest in every pocket. Yet we remain convinced the world is falling apart. Our brains evolved to detect threats, not celebrate victories. News outlets profit from fear, and progress unfolds incrementally while disasters grab attention instantly. Recognizing progress isn't naive optimism. It's realism about what's possible when human ingenuity meets freedom and opportunity. Challenges remain, from climate change to inequality, but we can face them with the same innovation that brought us this far. Progress isn't inevitable, but it's possible. And that possibility, backed by centuries of evidence, should fill us with hope and resolve.